Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cons and Cons is a segment we do here on The Drive where we name what we're most confident in, what we're most concerned about. And traditionally, throughout the year, we do it with the four teams in the state of North Carolina in the ACC. So we do what are we most confident about in Wake Forest and what are we most concerned about in Duke, and we'd answer them all for all four teams. Well, there's really no reason to talk about the other three right now because well, simply.
They're all at home.
I was trying to say that like in a clever but not mean way.
Nah, just say what it is.
They're not playing anymore.
Yeah, they're not playing.
Whenever the full run of all four is done, we'll do like a cons and cons program wide for like the future of. Mm-hmm. But NC State's still playing, so we got to keep this one rolling. So we thought we'd do the NC State cons and cons for their Final Four matchup against Purdue.
But to play great defense, you need one thing above all else.
That starts with a W.
Confidence.
What are you most confident in? What are you most concerned about? Hey, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? You always take the bad news. Start with the concern, and I'll lead off. And it's the same question I asked at the beginning.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to react if Zach Edey can defend DJ Burns. That's not to say they don't have a plan or they can't. It's been so long since there's been a game where DJ Burns isn't cooking that I'm almost wondering if that would be like a shock to their system. Right, I talk about this exact. It's a hypothetical scenario, but it happens. The feeling of it happens in just about every basketball game. What do you do when the other team scores three straight buckets? When it's a 7-0 run, right? When the other team gets an and one of a transition bucket and a three. What do you do when the crowd is ready? Even if you were like up six and now you're just down two, right? The crowd is ready to explode. The momentum is turning. How do you respond? You need that guy. And that's why teams need a go-to scorer, right? Your go-to scorer doesn't have to score 40 every game. What your go-to scorer has to do is demand the ball when the other team is on a 7-0 run. And just end the run. Stop the metaphorical bleeding. The entire nine games that the NC State is on, the five in the ACC tournament, the four in the NCAA tournament, it has felt like when they need that bucket, they go to the big fella. And he has delivered darn near every time. If Zach Edey, who in his own right is unique as heck, 7'4", 300-plus pounds, pretty darn good athlete for his size, if he can take that away, who, what motion, what action, what play are they calling when they need to stop the bleeding? That's my concern. Dennis, what's yours?
My concern is defending Zach Edey. That's my big thing, is because, like you said, he's 7'4", 300 pounds. Yeah, they got some big dudes down there in the block. Like, Ben Middlebrooks is a big guy. He's not 7'4", 300. Mm-hmm. DJ Burns is not the strongest on the defensive end of the floor. Mo Diarra's got the length. He's, what, 6'10", 6'11", himself. I think he has the length, but he doesn't have, like, the physical stature. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. How do you defend that guy? Because if they need a bucket, you go down to the 7'4" dude and trust that he's going to back a dude down and get you a layup or a dunk. That's my big concern when it comes to NC State. It's defending that guy, because let's say he is guarding DJ Burns. DJ Burns can post that dude up from like 17 feet out and you'll skip passes cross court to wide open guys. If they want to pull him away from the basket, it actually might work in NC State's favor, but it's defending that guy. That's the big concern for me.
Would you allow me to add one addendum?
Sure.
Can you defend Zach Edey without fouling?
Great question.
Purdue is quite like prolific. It is unlike what we've seen as far as some would say the refs are doing it. Some would say Zach Edey is the reason why. They draw so many more fouls than are called against them. And I've watched the same social media videos that every other college basketball nerd has watched, where like Zach Edey is out of position to block a shot, and he kind of does the nah, and he doesn't even jump. And they're saying that's why he doesn't get called for fouls, because he's smart. What I do know is he's the only guy that big that for some reason doesn't get the Shaq treatment, mm-hmm. which like the Shaq treatment is you get hit, but you're so big it like doesn't affect you. The refs go, no harm, no foul, and they don't call it. Zach Edey draws a lot of fouls. He gets a lot of opposing bigs in foul trouble. So you have to be able to defend him for all the reasons that Dennis said, but you have to be able to defend him without falling into the trap that so many teams have fallen into, which is getting called for 28 fouls while Purdue gets called for 14.
He went to the free throw line against Tennessee in that 72-66 win. He went to the free throw line 22 times. Zach Edey did.
For some reason, he's the 7-4 guy that refs think draws fouls rather than just powers through them.
He scored 40 of their 72 points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you watch the game, it felt like he scored 70 of their 72 points.
This postseason, just the NCAA tournament alone, 30 points, 23, 27, 40.
And rebounds like 16, 16, 13, and 18. Now he's averaging 16, I think. It is absurd.
He hasn't scored less than 20 points since February 4th against Wisconsin.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's how you end up in the Final Four with one of the best players in the country, which he is. Confidence, that's our concerns. This is cons and cons, though. You have to answer both. If that's what you're concerned about, Dennis, you lead us off this time. What are you confident in?
This is going to sound weird, but we've talked about we can't figure out why this NC State team is still just getting it done, right? Mm. After watching them all season, we're still trying to figure it out. We've watched since game one till now. If we haven't figured it out yet this season, who else is going to figure it out?
That's a good point.
That's the thing. Like, that's my confidence when it comes to them. It's like they just keep finding a way to get it done. Simple as that, they're finding a way to get it done. And you can tell every single game they're playing with that chip on their shoulder, desperation that they've been playing with for the last 3+ weeks, it feels like. To me, that's the confidence. They just finding a willing themselves to victory, however you want to define it. Simple as that.
It is a good point.
I think a lot of that's DJ Horn too.
I've watched every minute of the NC State basketball season, whether live or recorded the next day. Mm-hmm. I host a podcast about it, so I've been invested the entire season. By the way, check it out, Pack Therapy, the podcast. We have new episodes rolling out pretty much every day this week. I can't fully explain it. I have a lot of reasons why they're playing better now, but I can't fully explain why the team that lost their last 4 regular season games suddenly clicked without saying words like, they suddenly clicked, and like without saying things that I know are true, but the explanations behind them aren't hard, aren't easy to come by, I should say. So, you know, if I've been doing that for months, I think Purdue can figure it out in 5 days. Maybe, but I think the odds are stacked against them.
Well, you say, you know, the old term Marvel, we have a Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, they have a Zach Edey. Yeah. Who's their Hulk?
Both are true.
Yep.
My confidence is NC State's selflessness. Mm-hmm. I genuinely, as much as DJ Burns is kind of a star, and he is famous celebrity, he's on every show, he's, you know, the legend of him grows, I do get the feeling they don't care who is playing the best, that person is going to be the one featured. And I go back to the Texas Tech game, right? DJ Burns was the star of the ACC tournament, right? He was the face of NC State. He was all of that. The very first NCAA tournament game, he was the third leading scoring big. Like, I'm not even saying he was the third leading scorer of the post players on NC State. That doesn't happen on many teams, right? And he was okay with it, and he was celebrating it, and he still had his moments. And the same is true elsewhere, right? Like, Michael O'Connell hit the biggest shot of their season. Michael O'Connell's what, their fifth best scorer? Fourth? And you could, depending on the day, probably anywhere from fourth to seventh.
Yeah.
He hit the biggest shot.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Jaden Taylor hit the dagger in overtime against Oakland. He's a bench player that was coming off an ankle injury not that long ago. And you know, they fed him because he was open. Casey Morsell has hit big shots and dunked on people. It does feel like a very selfless team. This is not one of those, you know, Cinderella runs where it turns out that, like, oh, Davidson had one of the best basketball players in the history of the game on their team, and they just found a way to get him the ball. Oh, look at this. Butler made a run to another Final Four. Oh, yeah, they have Gordon Hayward, a two-time NBA All-Star. It's like, oh, look at VCU. How are they pulling this off? Or Wichita State. We'll go Wichita State. How Wichita State pull it off? Well, they have Fred VanVleet. He's a guy making $40 million a year to play basketball right now. NC State, it's like, oh, how are they pulling this off? I'm not sure I see that one guy that they keep funneling the ball to, other than DJ Burns for different reasons. But big shots are hit in different situations by a bunch of different players. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. That's Cons and Cons. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group. You've been in the game for a while, and if we go back to when you were 6 years old, you've seen, you know, every different kind of player. Have you seen anything like the phenomenon that is DJ Burns over the last 20 days?
Yeah, just once. Only one other time, and that was when I was at the University of Louisville, and I was the analyst and the engineer for the 1979-1980 University of Louisville basketball team that won the national championship. They had NC State team doesn't have it, but they had a mega leader in the name of Daryl Griffith. And then they had some wonderful talent around him, Derek Smith, Wiley Brown, Roger Berkman, Jerry Eves, and I could go on and on, but these guys ended up winning it all. And that was the most together group of people that I've ever seen. And if Daryl Griffith told you to do something, you know, you would go over there and stand on your head and spit quarters, everybody would have done it. But, you know, that's the kind of leader he was. And he was a tremendous player, went on to play many, many years in the NBA. And he was a skywalker. I mean, other than David Thompson, I've never seen anybody be able to elevate like Daryl Griffith. But that team had togetherness. These guys loved each other. They would do anything for each other. They were connected. This team is the closest I've seen to that. Now, this NC State team doesn't have a mega leader, but it's got a whole bunch of veterans. And these guys have played basketball for a long time. They're hungry. And all of a sudden, at the end of the year, you know, things weren't going very good. But they weren't that bad. I mean, they lost four straight games going into the ACC tournament, but they were competitive in all of them. And what you'd find was that there was a stretch of about 5 minutes or 7 minutes in the game. It either came in the first half, most of the time it came in the second half in the last 10 minutes, where a couple of things would happen. There'd either be a bunch of breakdowns defensively, or there'd be a period where NC State just couldn't put the ball in the basket. And that's all it takes when you're playing. I'll tell you, when you're playing ACC games, there's a fine line between winning and losing, and that's all it takes. And these guys weren't that bad. So the amazing thing is how quickly they turned it around. Coach Keats told them, you know, this is what you got to do. You guys told me before the season started you wanted to win the ACC championship. Well, you're going to have to win five games to do it. And if you do these things, this is what will happen. And all of a sudden, guards weren't blowing by NC State defensively. The ball screen defense was better. You got complimentary scoring. Some guys stepped up big time like Michael O'Connell and Mo Diarra. But to Mo's defense, I mean, he was already playing pretty well even during those four games. But you've got to have guys step up. Ben Middlebrooks, I mean, you can go on and on and on. Everybody just stepped up, and if they weren't contributing offensively like a Jaden Taylor, he had 28 at Pitt in the last regular season game, but he hadn't given NC State much offensively. and he had an ankle issue during the ACC tournament, but he's done great things on defense. He's a great on-ball defender, and he's embraced that role. And that's what you got to have, and that's how NC State turned it around. But I still marvel at how quickly they were able to do it.
What about the off-the-court stuff? Was that Louisville team or anything like – DJ Burns, I saw he and DJ Horn were at Applebee's, and not only did they pack out the Applebee's, the parking lot, the line wrapped around however long, looked like there was a parade in town, and it was fans wanted to see and interact with them. Have you seen the I don't know, like the it felt like David Cassidy from back in the day or something? Like did have they hit the celebrity before in anything you've seen?
No, even the 1980 Louisville team. Now, when it came back to Louisville, I mean, it was a big deal. They packed Freedom Hall, and there were parades and all of that sort of stuff. But no, nothing like this. In fact, I just found this out. I got up at 6 a.m. to do some yard work because a big tree limb had fallen down in my yard while I was gone. I had to get rid of that. And so I was out there, a neighbor came out. Did you see what happened? I only live about a mile away from that Applebee's. And she was telling me about DJ Burns was there, and there was a big crowd that was circling the restaurant. And I said, no, I didn't know about that because I've been too busy getting ready for, you know, three different teams here in the Final Four to call a ball game. But that just blew my mind. But this is a good group of guys. I mean, it really is. These are some really neat personalities, some character people. And DJ Burns, while he's very, very physical on the court and is a tremendous competitor, off the court, he's just a big furball. I mean, he's just the nicest, softest, most humble, engaging, sweet kind of guy that you'd ever want to meet.
Gary, through going to NC State media availabilities this past football season, obviously I see you do your one-on-one pregame interviews with Dave Dorn. It reminds me that you work really closely with these coaches, both professionally and personally. I'm curious, what does Kevin Keats mean to you as a friend, as a colleague, and also do you have any unique stories that you would mind sharing with us about Kevin Keats just as a person, as you've gotten to know him throughout your career and his career here at NC State?
Well, I can tell you, Kevin Keats is the same guy during a four-game losing streak, and he's the same guy now during a nine-game winning streak. That's the amazing thing about Kevin Keats. I think he's got some deep inner faith that everything is going to work out for him and everything is going to work out for what he's trying to do. And, you know, there have been a couple of rough years, but, you know, he's bounced back, and he's the same guy. And I have a lot of respect for that. And just to give you some idea about Coach Keats as a person, when my mom died and I was trying to get a car out of Clemson and get back to Raleigh, he was talking to me on the telephone. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he cares. He cares about people. And he said, you keep me updated on what's going on. So I did. And we texted back and forth during the 8 days. But weekend of the last regular season game, the family plot is up there about 35 miles northwest of Pittsburgh. And my mom wanted to be buried. She didn't want to be cremated. So basically I flew up on Thursday on my own. I conducted her graveside service on Friday. I took the rental car back to the airport. Met the team bus when they landed at the Pittsburgh airport in the charter terminal, and rode the bus down into Pittsburgh, did the game the next night, flew back with the team. My fiance also went with me. She was right there by the bedside when my mom died, and he made that all possible. He made it so that she could fly back with me. And there aren't too many coaches, I don't think, that would do that, but he did. And that just shows you the kind of person he is. And it was definitely a different kind of weekend that weekend. But I'll always be grateful to him for working that all out, because if Rhonda and I would have had regular airfare both ways, from Pittsburgh to Raleigh, I think it was going to end up costing us something like $1,200. And that was just ridiculous. So he made that happen, and that's I think a pretty good example of what you get with Kevin Keats.
Well, I know we said as much on air, and the station did a bunch when all of that took place. But having you here, I would like to pass along the condolences and thoughts and prayers on the passing of your mom, and because she's popped up a few times in the conversation, and it's obvious you know how much she meant to you. So we want to make sure we take the time to do that.
Well, I had my mom for almost 72 years. Not a lot of people can say that. My mom was pushing 95 years old when the Lord took her home. And, you know, I still have periods of where I'll just break down and start crying here at the house. But it's getting better, and it'll continue to get better as I go along. But I think, you know, I truly believe that God orchestrates everything. He holds everything together, and everything happens on his timetable. And I just thank him for the blessing that that this run to the Final Four has been, because it's helped me it's been a distraction for me away from my mom, and it's been a wonderful distraction, because when you're calling games on radio and all the prep you have to do to get ready for it, it takes up a lot of time, and that's about all you can think about. You're focused on all of that, and I think that's been good for me.
Well, we'll play into that distraction a bit here and ask the next one. Obviously, with your prep, Zach Edey has to come up in it occasionally. You've been pouring over the numbers. What is a key to making that guy not look like the All-American that he is on Saturday?
Well, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to make sure if he catches it, you try to limit his touches with great ball pressure. But, you know, he's going to touch the ball. There's just no way around that. But if he touches it, he better touch it outside the lane, because if he touches it in deep, it's all over. I mean, it's either going to be a layup or a dunk. Or if he misses a shot, he's going to tip it back in or dunk it back in. So you've got to be able to do that. So the ball pressure defensively has to be very good. And you've got to be physical with him, which I think DJ Burns will be, but you've got to be physical with him without fouling. And again, you got to make sure you kind of root him out so that he doesn't catch it deep. Because I've been watching games. I've watched about four of them. I've got this thing basketball is giving me called Synergy Video Express. I get to kind of get in on it with them. And I can pull down any game after it's played. It doesn't matter if it's NBA game, women, men, you name it, I can pull it down. So I pulled some Purdue games down and been watching. And the teams that have let Edey catch it deep, they don't win. And, of course, you know, there haven't been many losses for Purdue anyway. They've only lost four games. But the only theme I could find in the four was just poor shooting. 28% from the field and the four losses, and then they haven't been to the foul line as much. Normally they get to the foul line about 25 times a game. And so if you can limit their guard without fouling, keep them off the free throw line, keep Edey outside the lane, and make him work for what he gets, I think that's the best scenario for NC State. But if you try to double him, which I'm sure the Pack will try to do at times, Wisconsin a few times triple teamed him, and they ended up beating Purdue in the Big Ten tournament 76-75. But since then, Purdue's won four straight. But if you double Zeedy, the problem that you have is that you've got dead-eye three-point shooters all around the perimeter, because Purdue shoots 41% as a team, and that's second best in America. And so, you know, Edie's no dummy. He can pass, and he's gonna get the open man. So that's kind of a pick your poison type thing, and we'll see what vile NC State decides to to grab on Saturday.
I chose William Peace because of the personalized education it offers, which allows students to truly know their professors. It's really possible to make genuine connections with your professors and learn intentionally here and dive deep into what you're passionate about.
A 12-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.